The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, about 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. And this is program 176 in the series, Lisa. Do you believe that?
I do. I've been here since number zero.
176 episodes of this program we have. And we have a terrific lineup, The Shadow with Bill Johnstone. Then it's the Jack Benny Program. And this is your FBI. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor will produce the upcoming TV series I'm Dying Up Here, which focuses on the stand-up comedy scene in L.A. during the 1970s.
And what do they win?
A $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, of course, Chicago's best deep dish pizza.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. He was the cable guy.
By the way, you might want to put on a bathing suit, because you'll be channel surfing in no time.
312-981-7200. Who is that great comedian? Give us a call. We'll be here when you call in and win a pizza.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
By the way, you might want to put on a bathing suit, because you'll be channel surfing in no time.
Surfing.
Let's talk to Tim from Lockport. Hey, Tim.
Hey, that sounds like Jim Carrey.
It certainly does. It is Jim Carrey, and you are absolutely right, Tim. You are a winner, and you have won a wonderful prize. It's a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnatis.com. Tim, thank you so much for calling in. It's a great start to our show tonight.
Definitely. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Tim. All right, I want to say hi to Mike Gastella, our executive producer.
Hello.
He's in the house. And also, Lise Graham, she's here as well, our producer. Thanks, Lise.
Thank you.
And two very special guests are in the house. We have Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Oil Dry. He is the Oil Dry is the parent company of Cat's Pride, our main sponsor here on the WGN Radio Theater. And also Dave Weiske, he's the vice president of customer success. Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Good. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing great.
All right. Well, they're here to pick another winner of our contest, sending in a picture of your kitty cat. That'll be in just a few minutes. So a lucky winner will win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. But let's talk about Cat's Pride and why it's such an awesome product.
Well, it's easy. In fact, I don't even know if we have time to go through all of the benefits that we have. But cat litter always starts with odor control. And so both of our products, both the scented and the fragrance-free hypoallergenic, are formulated to control odors for up to 10 days in the litter box. And they clump really hard, so when your cat does what the cat needs to do, it's easy to scoop it away, and that also helps fight the odors. Very low in dust. I mean, we call it as dust-free as a litter can be. We really do a phenomenal job, and that also reduces the tracking. So, and then finally, you've got absorbency and just the particle size. So it's really a great litter. And then on top of that, we made it 50% lighter in bulk density. So you get all the fills, you get to fill up your tray to 2.5-3 inches. But instead of weighing, let's say, 10 pounds, it would weigh 5. And that is not only good for you who has to carry it home, but it's good for the environment because we can put twice as many trucks on the road. In fact, Dave was telling me today that you've got some numbers for us on what we've done for the carbon footprint.
Right. We just updated our carbon footprint. And when we talk about the emissions and everything that is going on with truck emissions, the big thing that we're watching for is how many trucks we're taking off the road. So we were thinking, at least our initial estimates were going to be around 1,500 trucks this year, and we're already over that. So we've got a good crack at hitting over 2,000 trucks that basically will be taken off the road due to lightweight litter, because we're getting more units versus the competitive heavy material.
Because loading a truck is based on weight as opposed to volume, correct? Yeah, so that's great. Well, that, I mean, so it's a very green product, and that's why maybe it's in a green jug, right?
And look for the green jug. Look for the green jug, exactly.
Yeah, now Catherine Heigl is a spokesperson for Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care, and she's, her picture is actually on a lot of the jugs, right?
Well, and what a statement about our partnership. She was as passionate about saving companion animals as we are. I personally have been on the board of the Anti-Cruelty Society for 20 years. We have donated all the litter for the society. They haven't bought a pound of litter in 20 years. And at the same time, Catherine and her mom, Nancy, were working the West Coast. And so they started the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation in honor of her brother, who passed away in a tragic accident when he was 15 years old. And he loved companion animals. Mm. So they did this in his honor. And we partnered. And we came to her and said, Catherine, the ads are doing very well on TV. She plays a therapist, and they're very interesting and very cute. But one problem was, because we were not currently the market leader, a lot of consumers were seeing the ads and saying, wow, I love that lightweight litter, and then going to the shelf and actually buying a competitive product.
Right.
So we went to Nancy and Catherine and said, would you be willing to put your image on the front of our package? And with her star power, she was willing to do it, because she is so passionate about doing everything she can for companion animals. And why it's good for her and companion animals is, every time a consumer buys a green jug, we make a donation to the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation. So everybody wins.
That's great. Well, yeah, so now you're helping save cats and dogs' lives all across the country, and I would imagine all over the world. And also, it's such a green product and such a great product. It's the best product there is. So, folks, if you haven't already switched to Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care, we just gave you about five reasons why you should, and you'll see that it's the best product. Now, Mike, you use it. You didn't use it before, and now you use it.
I absolutely use it now. It's definitely less dusty, and it definitely does control odor much better than anything else I've used.
And, you know, don't just take our word. You can go online and read reviews, and we've got a few with snippets, but go out and do your own homework, but you'll see the consumers are passionate.
Yeah, I think if you go out to Amazon.com, for example, or Chewy.com, these are two e-commerce sectors that are selling our product out there. And if you go out to Cat's Pride Ultimate Care, you're going to see reviews that'll basically validate the purchases. These are validated purchases of, you know, our customers reaching out and basically sharing with others about the great things of our various types of cat litter.
And you can get this product pretty much everywhere, right? So just name the top
ones. So in the Chicagoland area, Jewel, in fact, Jewel's running a Monopoly program right now, Mariano's. We've got Walmart. Walmart, we're in big right now. We've got a feature. We're actually on an end cap, if you're familiar with that. So sure. If you go to your local Walmart, you're going to see us there. And again, the typical grocery store is Super Value. We get up into some of the other areas of the country. Meijer. Meijer is actually sprinkled in Wisconsin now, and it's in Illinois as well as Indiana and Michigan.
Very, very good. And one of the nice things that Dan and Dave do for this show, they love classic radio, and they are our main sponsor here on the WGN Radio Theater, have been with us from day one. It's been over 2 years. Thank you so much for the support. And so please support them. Please switch to Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care as a thank you for them sponsoring this show. They also give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter every single month. So Dan and Dave come in here and they pick a name. So we're going to do that right now. We have all of the names from the past month in a black bag.
Yes.
And Dan's going to pick a name
now. And if we can get a drum roll.
Okay, we have our winner. And before I read her name, I want to tell you, I was driving back from Louisville this weekend, and I listened to Three Suspenses and a Whistler. So I am definitely a diehard.
I know you love suspense, that's for sure.
And keeping with suspense, I've kept you in suspense, but we do have a winner. Jennifer Norman and her cat Eva from Bellevue, Ohio, will be receiving one free year, a full year supply of Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care. She can pick either the scented or the fragrance-free formula.
It's awesome.
And she's good to go.
Awesome. So that's 24 years. 24 years of litter we've given out since this program
that's
started.
That's right. Wow. More than that, yeah.
24 years.
That's right, 24 years. I never thought of it that way, Dave. Well, excellent. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. And thanks for all you do for the show and for cats and dogs all over the country, saving lives for these animals all over the place, along with Catherine Heigl and her foundation. You just do great work, and it's just such a pleasure to have you on the show and as our sponsor.
Well, thank you. And Lisa, if next time you could let us get a word in edgewise, we'd appreciate it.
Carl just likes to talk. It's okay. I'm used to it.
Well, great to see you both.
Great to see you.
It's time for the shadow. Should we tune this in? Let's go back to February 11th, 1940. This is called Death is an Art. It stars Bill Johnstone, part one now of The Shadow.
Shadow knows.
The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. The Shadow uses his hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the Shadow belongs. Today's story, Death is an Art.
Hey, you! Hold on there, my lad. I want to talk to you. Now, I suppose you're going to be telling me it's out for a stroll, yeah? And I'll be remarking that this is the Divil's Own night and the Divil's Own time to be taking a walk. And what'll you be saying to that?
Good evening, officer.
Ah, sure, it's pleasant enough you are with your greeting. But I want to know what takes you down here to the docks at this hour of the night.
I'm to meet somebody here.
Oh, that I wouldn't be doubting. But who and for what reason?
I don't know, officer. I don't know who I'm to meet, nor for what reason.
Now, hear me, man. I don't get anything out of that at all.
Well, let me explain. Look, I got this note a couple of days ago. Read it.
A man who prefers death to failure deserves success. That is a gift which is mine to bestow. If you wish further details, meet me in the vicinity of Pier 12, Wednesday, around midnight. And he didn't sign his name.
No. So you understand now what I mean when I say I don't know who I'm to meet.
Oh-ho! A poor complexion this puts on things, so it does. Now, what's your name?
Harper, Graham Harper.
Harper. Now, that's name. Oh, sure, I know you. You were in the papers a while back. Be the living... Say, you're the sculptor that tried to do away with yourself.
Well, that's about the size of things. But I couldn't even make a success of suicide.
You're not down here to pitch yourself overboard, are you? It's too cold a night for me to be diving in after you.
No, no, officer. Once was enough. I don't think I'll have the courage to try it again. Besides, you see, this note offers me some hope.
Well, all right. I'm a fool to do it, but I'll take your word for it. I hope this fella has a job for you, too. If you have any trouble with him, just shout and I'll be somewhere about.
Oh, thank you, officer.
Oh, don't thank me. That's what I'm paid me good money for. Well, good night to you, me son, lad.
Good night, officer.
I beg your pardon. Are you Graham Harper?
I am. Who are you?
May I first confirm your identity? You have a note directing you to meet someone here.
I have a note, yes. Is it from you?
May I see that?
Sure, here it is.
Yes, so it is. Now we can talk without restraint. May I introduce myself? I am Professor Skurta Tasso.
Professor Skurta, the famous scientist?
Yes.
Well, this is an honor, Professor. But what could you want with me?
I read all about you in the newspapers. Your attempt at suicide.
Oh.
I want to assure you I am deeply sympathetic. Because, you see, I, too, am a failure.
What?
You a failure? Oh, I have been blessed with a goodly share of success in science. But like yourself, I too have ambition to become a great sculptor. Had, still have. But I know it is too late now to realize my ambition. I am so firmly established in science that my efforts in an artistic endeavor might be regarded as simply the hobby of a successful man.
Oh, I see. Your note says you have the power to bestow the gift of success.
I have.
How?
I have made a great scientific discovery. It is not of a character I can release to the world.
But what has a scientific discovery to do with the art of sculpture?
More than you can realize now. I have looked for someone who would value success in art above life itself. I believe you are the one through whom I can express the desire to create.
I don't know what you mean.
You were ready to throw your life away because you were a failure in your chosen field. What would you do for success?
Anything. Anything in this world.
Graham Harper, I can make you the greatest sculptor of all time.
If you're joking with me,
No, I am not joking. I am ready to prove it to you. What are your conditions? You must place yourself under my complete and absolute domination.
If what you say is true, you could be the very devil himself, and I'd gladly embrace you.
Say, Shrevey.
Yeah, Mr. Cranston? Something the matter, something?
Well, nothing except that Miss Lane and I'd be just as well pleased if you didn't try to make this old hack fly.
Oh, I get it. I'm going too fast. I'm going. Is that it? Isn't it?
Oh, no, Shrevey. It's just that all the others are going so slowly.
Miss Lane, you're a genius. I never thought of it like that.
Hey, Shrevey. Just because I criticized you for going so fast, there's no reason why you should stop on a dime.
No, Mr. Cranston, that ain't why I stopped. I just seen a pal I see.
Well, I hope you don't see any relatives.
There he is, right over there. I want you should meet him.
Oh, well, that's fine. We're always glad to meet a pal of yours, Shrevey, but do you think we're presentable?
Ah, don't worry about that, Miss Lane. My pal's broad-minded. Hey, John! John! Hey, John! He's a little hard of hearing, he's a little.
Yes, a little. And maybe he's just indifferent.
No, he's a fire-eating Democrat. Hey, John!
Let me help you, Shrevey.
Hey, John!
Gosh, Miss Lane, that did it. Here he comes.
Margo, I'm going to enter you in a hog-calling contest.
Oh, fine, Lamont. Might open up an entirely new world for me.
Hiya, John, old pal, hiya.
Oh, it's you, Shrevey. Well.
I want you should meet a couple of friends of mine, I want. This here's Miss Lane.
And this here's Mr. Cranston.
Well, any friend of Shrevey can be a friend of mine.
You hear that, folks? That's how I stand with my pals, that's how.
Well, but Shrevey, you haven't told us the gentleman's name.
How do you like that? Ooh, I'm such a dope. This here is Pencil John.
Pencil John?
Yeah, he's been selling pencils on this here corner for... How long is it, John, huh?
32 years. Yes, I've seen the city grow since I first came out here with my first pencil.
32 years? Man, that's a long time.
And a lot of pencils, a lot.
Yes, indeed it is. But I won't be here much longer.
What do you mean? You're going to retire? You're going to...
Oh, no. I'm embarking on a new career.
Yes? Well, what's the new career, John?
Well, it's not exactly set yet, but the man promised me the job this morning.
A job? Oh, Pencil, you ain't going to work after all these years.
Yes, Shrevey, I am.
What kind of a job you got?
Well, I'm going to be a model.
A model? You mean you're going to pose for them color ads?
Oh, no. I'm going to model characters in stone. That's what the man said. And my statue is going to be exhibited in the famous Gaylord Gallery.
Well, that's fine, John. The Gaylord Galleries are the best in the country.
So I hear.
Ain't that something? Hey, Mr. Chris, do you think a mug like me could get in to see John's statue, you think?
Well, I think it can be arranged, Shrevey. Perhaps we'll all go.
Oh, well, that would be fine, Mr. Cranston. I'd consider it a great honor.
Why, not at all. And now, Shrevey, I'm afraid we'll have to be moving along.
Oh, okay, boss, okay.
Well, this has been a pleasure, Miss Lane and Mr. Cranston. It's always nice to meet friends of Shrevey's.
You hear that? Don't he talk nice, boss? Pencil John's got culture he's got. Well, so long, John. See you in the art gallery.
Goodbye, Shrevey.
Hey, how do they pay off on that modeling racket?
Oh, I'm getting $5 an hour.
Well, that's $5 an hour.
Goodbye, John.
Goodbye, John. Goodbye.
Thank you. How do you like that? 5 pieces of folded money every hour. Wow. Hey, Miss Lane, look, get this. How's my profile from this angle?
Oh, it's fine, Shrevey, but I think I like the back of your head better.
You do, Miss Lane? You do?
Yes, then I know you've got your eyes on the road.
Oh, I get it. $5 an hour.
You know who that is playing Shrevey on that broadcast right there, Lisa? Alan Reed, who played Fred Flintstone. That's right. That's the first portion of The Shadow with Bill Johnstone starring in Death is an Art from February 11th, 1940. Also in that cast, Marjorie Anderson and Kenny Delmar. Kenny Delmar was Senator Claghorn. I see, son. He was Senator Claghorn on Fred Allen. And but he didn't do, you know, there was a Foghorn Leghorn, remember, later in the cartoons? Mel Blanc did the Foghorn Leghorn sort of as an homage to Kenny Delmar's Senator Claghorn. All right, let's take a break, and then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All righty. Welcome back to the show, everyone, and thanks, Roger and Esmeralda. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. We play six classic radio shows for you. Play all your favorites, including The Shadow, which we're listening to right now. This is called Death is an Art. Here's the conclusion now to Bill Johnstone as Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow.
Well, it's just one of those things you can't do anything about.
They're without doubt the most magnificent studies in stone I've ever seen. Skin texture, light, general composition, splendid.
I just can't imagine Graham Harper turning out such great work. It's positively astounding.
What happened to Shrevey, Margot?
Oh, he's somewhere around looking for the statue of Pencil John, I suppose.
Say, Margot, have you ever seen such lifelike statues?
No, never, Lamont. And the expressions on the faces. I half expect to see them get down from the pedestals and walk away. But they all look as though they were about to be frightened to death.
Well, that's the modern touch, Margot.
Hey, Mr. Cranston, Miss Lane, get a load of this.
Oh, let him in. Come on, Margot. Our friend Shrevey's getting hysterical.
Hey, look, here he is, boss. Here's John's statue. Don't he look swell, don't he?
Yes, Shrevey, but not so loud, please.
Pencil John. All he needs is a street corner, he'd be perfect. Perfect, he'd be.
Mr. Cranston, so glad you've come to our exhibit.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Pontesi? Miss Lane, may I present the director of the Gaylord Galleries, Mr. Pontesi.
How do you do, Mr. Pontesi?
A pleasure, Miss Lane.
I'm Shrevey.
This is Shrevey, Mr. Pontesi.
How do you do?
Yes, yes, Paul. And now, may I present the gentleman who has the art world at his feet, Miss Lane, Mr. Cranston, Graham Harper, creator of these magnificent statues.
How do you do?
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Harper? We've been admiring your work.
Thank you, Miss Lane. Your model for this statue here, Mr. Harper, is, well, a friend of a friend of ours.
He's a friend of mine.
Yes, that's right, a friend of Shrevey's.
You mean Pencil John?
Yes, we haven't seen him at his accustomed haunts lately. Has he forsaken business entirely for the more aesthetic field of art?
Why, I don't know. I've lost track of him. You see, I only use a model once.
Oh? Oh, I see.
Hey, Mr. Cranston, this is some hunk of stone.
Hey, Shrevey, put that statue down.
I just want to see if I can lift it.
Shrevey,
look out! I guess you thought I was going to drop it, maybe.
You fool! And now your statue is not harmed, Mr. Harper.
Oh, no thanks to that idiot that it isn't.
I wait a minute.
Shrevey, all right. Come on now. We're getting out of here. I'm sorry, Mr. Harper.
I don't blame you, Mr. Cranston.
Margot, I think we'd better be going.
Yes, I think so, too.
Shrevey, come on.
Okay. But as for you, Mr. Harper, if I wasn't a gentleman and in the presence of a lady, I'd clip you right in the kisser. Cheerio. You know something, boss? That Harper guy oiked me, if you know what I mean. He oiked me.
Yes, I think I know what you mean, Shrevey.
Well, if we never see Mr. Harper again, it'll be soon enough for me.
But I think we will be seeing Mr. Harper again, Margot.
Why?
Oh, for a closer inspection of his works of art, perhaps?
Well, he is a great sculptor at that. So thorough. Lamont, did you notice the fingers on that statue of Pencil John? Such detail. Every bone and muscle and sinew was there.
Yes, Margot. And I have an idea that if the statue were broken open, you'd probably find the heart, lungs, and all the other organs, too.
What do you mean?
Well, you see, Margot, I have a strong suspicion that's not merely a statue of Pencil John. I believe that is Pencil John.
Uh.
Hello? K-Lord Galleries. Yeah, this is Horton, the watchman. I've got the okay to release the statue as soon as you come for it. All right. Good night.
Just a moment, Horton.
Who's that?
I'm the Shadow.
Well, I don't see you where.
I've clouded your mind so you can't see me. But don't be afraid. I'll not harm you or anything in your charge.
Well, what do you want?
For the present, just a little information. Who is that called on the phone?
An expressman. There's a statue going out of the galleries tonight.
Which one?
Pencil John.
I see. Well, I want to get a good look at that statue before it goes. You just stay here in this little office until the expressmen come for that statue.
Oh, don't worry. I won't move.
I want you to act as if nothing's happened.
I understand.
Very well. I'll leave you now. But don't forget, stay where you are.
I'll do everything just like you told me. All right, Margot. Come in.
That was fast work, Lamont.
Watchman's in that little office back there, scared speechless.
Then he won't disturb us.
Not a chance. Come on. We'll have to work fast. They're going to take Pencil John out tonight.
Did you find out why?
No. But my guess is that Harper's afraid to have it around since it was recognized today.
Well, what'll they do with him, Lamont?
Destroy him, I suppose.
Oh, how horrible.
Horrible's hardly the word. Cold, Margot?
No, just nervous, I guess. An art gallery is certainly a spooky place at night.
Here we are, Margot.
Lamont, there's Pencil John.
Yes. Be interesting to see if Harper even worked out the fingerprints too, eh, Margot?
That certainly would clinch your theory.
Well, let's see if he... Here you are, Margot. Look, the fingerprints are perfect. Have you got that sense? Pencil John's fingerprints?
Yes, right here, Lamont.
Good. Now we'll make a little comparison. Yeah. Take a look, Margot. The fingerprints match up perfectly.
Perfectly? There's no question about it. This is Pencil John. And all these other statues, they're real people, too.
Exactly.
But how could they do this, Lamont?
That I don't know yet, Margot. But I hope to soon.
Lamont, do you notice one feature that's characteristic of all these statues? I noticed it when I first saw them.
Yes. The look of horror on their faces. That what you mean?
Yes. Ghastly.
Hey, listen, Margot. Somebody's coming. Most likely the expressman to take Pencil John away. Come on. Let's hide behind these tapestries over here.
I don't like this.
I don't care whether you do or not.
Did you notice the manner of that watchman?
Yes, yes. He seemed frightened.
Yes. You suppose anything's gone wrong?
Don't be such a coward, Harper. You're always afraid something is going to go wrong.
Well, look what happened to Pencil John. He was recognized today. May start a search for the man.
All right. We'll get him out of here and nobody will know the difference. Come on. Give me a hand here. Stop worrying.
Margot.
Yes.
Look who's dressed as an expressman.
Who is it, Lamont?
Professor Scurtatasso.
What? Why, it is Lamont. What interest is he in Harper's affairs? Why the disguise?
Those are questions I'm going to find out tonight.
We could have kept this in my studio tonight. Would have saved us the trouble of coming out here to the seacoast.
I feel more comfortable here in my laboratory. Besides, this statue will have to be destroyed at once.
Destroyed? How?
Broken up and thrown into the sea. Take that sledgehammer there.
What? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. I couldn't.
All right, then. I will do it myself. First, we'll have to get to work on a replacement for the exhibit.
All right. Have you a subject?
Yes. She is here in this room. Come out, old fellow.
Gonna let me get out of here, mister, are you?
Yes, 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 old fellow. You will be out of here in a very short time.
What was the idea? Bring me here in the first place.
What do you think of him, Harper?
Raise your head a bit. Excellent subject.
Well, can I go now?
In a little while. Sit down here in this chair a minute.
I want to get out of here.
Sit down.
Well, only a minute.
Now.
Oh!
Shut up.
take these crabs from around me.
Hand me the hypo. I'll quiet this old fool.
Now listen, mister. What do you want to hurt me for? I ain't never done that.
I won't hurt you, not a bit. Roll up your sleeve, Harper.
All right, quiet.
What are you
going
to do?
Prepare you for a greater destiny than perhaps you deserve.
No, no. No, no, get away from me. Go away.
Come over here, Harper.
No.
Strange how even the most disreputable will cling to life. In just a few hours now, Harper, you will have a statue every bit as fine as Pencil John. Hand me my case.
Yes, Professor. This is the most amazing process imaginable.
No, it is a simple thing. Nature gave me the clue. Calcification of the human body is a device of nature. I just intensify the disease until the body attains the consistency of granite.
Professor!
Yes, what is the matter?
I heard a noise outside.
The wind, no doubt.
No, no, somebody's out there.
Well, let's put your mind at rest before you get hysterical.
Come on.
No.
See anyone?
No, there's nobody there. I thought you were right. There is somebody.
Huh?
Come on. Hey, hey there, you. Come back here.
It's a man and a woman. They got into that car.
We've got to head them off. Hey, hey, come back.
There goes the car.
Confound it. Come on.
He struck the pulse.
Come on. Yeah, hurry, hurry, hurry.
Oh, it's Miss Lane and Mr. Cranston.
Lane, Cranston.
Yes, those are the people who recognize that statue.
What?
Help me get Mr. Cranston out of here. He's hurt. He's unconscious.
We will fix Mr. Cranston, all right. Grab a hopper.
Yeah, come on, you.
Let go.
Get out of there.
Can't you see I've got to get Mr. Cranston to a doctor?
Don't worry, my dear. I will take good care of your friend. I've got just the right prescription for snoopers. All right, Harper. You can put Mr. Cranston in that room with the old derelict. They will be good company for each other when they regain consciousness.
I can tell you now, Tasso. You'll never harm Mr. Cranston. You'll never get the chance.
For the moment, I am interested only in you, Miss Lane.
All right, Professor. Taken care of.
Good. Now, Miss Lane, for the last time, are you ready to tell us why you and Mr. Cranston were snooping about here?
For the last time, Tasso, no. I'll tell you nothing.
Very well, then. I can only conclude that your visit here is an aftermath of your interest in Pencil John.
You can think as you please.
Since you won't talk to me, then I shall see to it that you will not talk to anyone else.
What do you mean?
You will make a very lovely statue, Miss Lane.
Oh, no, you...
Oh, there is no use. No use trying to get out of the chair, Miss Lane. Those steel clamps have held stronger people than you. You ready, Harper?
Yes.
Hand me the kit.
You'll never get by with this, Tasso. My features will be recognized.
Oh, we can make slight adjustments. Not enough to mar your essential beauty, of course. Come now, Miss Lane. I have wasted enough time on you. The arm, Harper.
Yeah. Oh, go away. Let me out of here.
What was that?
Not so fast, Professor Tasso. Not so fast.
Tasso, what is it?
Who are you? Where are you?
I am beyond the reach of your calcification formulas, Tasso. I am the Shadow.
A Shadow? Did you hear that, Tasso? The Shadow.
Put away your drugs, Tasso. You'll no longer make an art of death.
Tasso, let's get out of here.
Harper, you miserable coward. Afraid of a voice? Here, hold the girl's arm. We'll finish our job.
I'm the one that's finishing a job here now, Tasso. Let go of her arm.
Don't listen to him, Harper. Proceed with the treatment.
You're hurting me.
Let go of her.
Tasso, what happened to you?
Oh. It hit me. It is not just a voice. Come on, Harper. Run for it. To the car, quick.
Oh, Lamont. I thought you were badly hurt.
Not even scratch, Margot. Let me get you out of the chair. We've got to get those two men.
Good driving, Margot. We're gaining on them.
Tasso and Harper are certainly giving their car all it can take.
Yeah. Look, Margot. The railroad crossing.
Oh, Lamont, they're going to try and beat that train.
They're insane.
Oh, no, no! Oh, Lamont. Look.
Turn around, Margot.
Oh.
Let's go back. Professor Tasso and Graham Harper will never bother anyone again.
Lamont, why do you suppose that Tasso, an eminent and respected scientist, committed such a mad crime?
Well, his love of sculpture and his overpowering desire to show off his new process to the world could explain it, plus a distorted mentality.
Do you realize how close I came to being one of his prize collection?
Yes.
You'd have made a lovely statue too, Margot. I'd undoubtedly have bought you for my mantelpiece.
Oh, I see. Just another ornament in your vast collection.
No, no. You'd have been quite useful.
Useful as a statue on a mantelpiece?
Yes. I would have put an electric clock in your mouth.
Oh, cute.
Today's program is based on a story copyrighted by the Shadow Magazine. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. The Shadow Magazine is on sale at your local newsstand.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
That's The Shadow from February 11th, 1940. Death is an Art, and that stars Bill Johnstone as Lamont Cranston, Marjorie Anderson as the lovely Lisa Wolfe, I mean the lovely Margot Lane, Kenny Delmar, Alan Reed in that. And did you hear at the end they were talking about The Shadow Magazine? Now, let me tell you a little history of The Shadow and The Shadow Magazine, Lisa, if you want to be edified. So there was a magazine called The Shadow Magazine, okay? And Walter P. Gibson was one of the writers, and it was just a guy called The Shadow, and he told stories, you know, about crime and things, all made-up stories. It was not a guy who had learned the hypnotic power in the Orient to cloud men's minds. None of that was part of the magazine. And there was a radio show called The Shadow prior to 1938 when Orson Welles played The Shadow, where this guy just read stories out of the magazine. It was just like a narrator, The Shadow. And it was so popular. And the radio show, even though he wasn't like this crime fighter, he was just a narrator that read, he was like a creepy guy that read stories. The producers of the magazine and of the radio show said, you know what, let's sort of evolve this character, right? So they hired Walter B. Gibson, who was writing for the magazine, to create this character. And so he created Lamont Cranston, who was this wealthy young man about town, who had a girlfriend named Margot Lane. And she was the only one who knew his identity, you know, that he was actually the Shadow and what the Shadow was. He had learned the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds and render himself invisible so he could solve crimes. And that launched in 1937, and they hired Orson Welles to play Lamont Cranston. And then that became even more popular, and then it ran on radio until the 1950s with different actors as the Shadow.
So the basis of the show was from this magazine.
The magazine.
And the writer
who created
the character.
Yeah. And then they picked up a sponsor, Blue Coal, and, you know, that as well. But so that was kind of the whole The Shadow.
There's a good
story.
Sinister laugh there at the end.
Sort of how Lise laughs, you know?
Yeah, she's just pretty like evil her. Over
I
there.
Know. Or let's take a quick break, and then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
That's us.
That's me.
Bill Curtis says, that's who we are, that's who we are.
That's right. Whatever he says, it's true.
Mm-hmm. And this is, what program is this? Program what? 176, let me see here, 176. 176. That's how I find it. Because I listen to the podcast, I just type in Google, I write WGN Radio Theater 176.
I know, Carl's not much for apps, so.
And then I hit enter, and
magic.
It's there. And then I know how to Bluetooth. Are you proud of me? I can Bluetooth.
You know, I went to WGN app and I checked our podcast. And Lise, you do such a great job of posting it because the description under our show is very exciting. I like the way she writes. You did a good job. See, Carl wouldn't
using
see,
those
you wouldn't see
words.
That. Yeah, you did. See, Carl wouldn't see that because he doesn't know how to do that. But
you
I
know,
saw
well,
it.
There's a lot of things I don't know how to do.
That's true.
But you know what? That's how I search.
It's all right. It
I
works
it,
for
and
you.
It works, and I Bluetooth it. I took my daughter go-kart racing today, and while she was go-kart racing, I was listening to the podcast.
You should have been racing with her.
No, I don't, you know.
No.
No, it's not.
One of those things
she
you don't know how to
it,
do.
She loved it, though. She was going around.
I know, but wouldn't she have had more fun
if you were
there? I
videotaped her, but I was there. But I didn't want to do it.
No.
No.
Okay.
And then I was listening to our show from last night.
Okay. Can't get enough.
You sounded great, Lisa.
I bet.
Just amazing. All right. So it is 12:10.
Yep.
Happy Monday morning. You know what? You'll get your free radio classic today.
Yes,
I don't know what
Monday.
It is, but you're going to get a free. Everybody that's part of free radio classics is going to get a classic radio show sent to them around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon today. And if you're not one of the people signed up, and there are thousands of people, it's absolutely free. Just go to freeradioclassics.com, put your name and your email address, and then when you hit send, and then you'll get a confirmation email. Click yes. And then you'll be signed up. You'll get a classic radio show emailed to you every Monday. And it has a picture of who's in that email. It has a synopsis. And there's all kinds of fun stuff.
It has a picture of who's in the email.
Oh, sorry. A picture who's in the classic radio show.
Same
Thank
thing.
You. Thank
yeah,
you for
same
that.
Thing.
But it might be Jack Benny or The Shadow or Boston Blackie. You never know. You get something new every Monday. Go to freeradioclassics.com. You can do it right now. And you'll get an email today, then later, if you do it right now. All right, in this hour, it's the Jack Benny Program, all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming TV series, Wet Hot American Summer, 10 years later. This is 10 years after the original series, Wet Hot American Summer.
I didn't see that one.
You missed it?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-mm. I'm surprised, actually.
I didn't see it.
And the winner gets a pair of tickets to the Tony Award-winning musical Disney's Mary Poppins at the Mercury Theater, Chicago.
All right. And the number to call, 312-981-7200. Lise Graham will answer the phone, and you might be a winner.
Well, you need to give them the clue.
I will.
Oh, okay.
The clue is she played Angie in Baby Mama.
You know, it's not going to be funny if you ruin the ending.
All right. Who is that great actress? 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
And we are back with WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
You know, it's not going to be funny if you ruin the ending.
We've got Steve on the line from Lake Zurich. Hey, Steve.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
Doing okay?
Great. So it sounds like you're in your car.
I am. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's okay. Time to go home. It's raining out there.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I know. So who's that actress?
That would be Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler is exactly right, and you are a winner. You get two tickets to the Tony Award-winning musical Disney's Mary Poppins. It's now playing through May 28th at the Mercury Theater Chicago. You can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Of course, you already got two tickets, so we hope that you have a chance to see it and spend a jolly holiday with Mary Poppins.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Enjoy the Mary Poppins play. All right, it's time now for the Jack Benny Program. Who doesn't love Jack Benny, Lisa?
I don't know. Everybody
loves Benjamin Kubelski. That was his. That was when he was born. His name was Benjamin Kubelski, and then he changed it for showbiz, as they say. It's like you changed your name from Matanky to Wolf.
Here we go for showbiz.
From Lisa Matanky. To Lisa Wolf.
Only for showbiz.
Shorter, you know.
It is.
And
we had some texters that suggested that you should change your name.
I know. I might listen to them. All right, it's time now for Jack Benny. This is a broadcast from October 1st, 1944. His special guest is Fred Allen. Part one now of the Jack Benny Program.
The Jack Benny Program. Hello, everybody. This is Don Wilson. And now we take you to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills. It's early morning. Jack is still asleep, and Rochester's in the kitchen preparing breakfast.
Hello, Mr. Benny's residence. Mr. Benny's residence, star of stage, screen, and radio. So whether you go out or stay home, he's got you trapped. suit I rented you. The boss is back. I know your week ain't up yet, but I'll give you your money pronto, pro rato, and pro Biden I'm alive when you get here. That's right. And Sam, we should pass the word along to the rest of my clientele. Goodbye. Well, I guess I'm safe now. Uh-oh. I'll have to dig up some excuse about Mr. Benny's tuxedo. Doggone, when I rented out for Jerome, how did I know they was going to cremate him? Oh, well, I better prepare breakfast before the boss gets up. Coming. Oh, it's you, Mr. Milkman.
Good morning, Rochester. I see by this note you left, you want me to start delivering milk again and stop leaving cream.
Benny's back.
Oh, say, Rochester, is it true that Mr. Benny's going on the air for a new sponsor?
Yes, sir.
Well, look, you tell Mr. Benny I'll be listening to him. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, by the way, there's a little matter of last month's bill. Here it is.
$28 for cream. Okay, I'll write you out a check for it.
Wait a minute. Is that a pair of dice you're taking out of your pocket?
Mr. Milkman, lay that bill down on the ground.
Oh, but Rochester, now look, I don't want
to... It's too late now. I'm wound up.
Oh, all right.
Here it goes. There it is in black and white.
Doggone, I've been homogenized again.
Well, goodbye and bail up next month.
Oh, Rochester. Rochester.
Oh, good morning, boss. Sit right down and have your breakfast.
Thanks. Gee, it's good to be home.
Good to have you home, boss. You'll never know how much I miss you.
Did you, Rochester?
Yeah. The 3 months you were away, this whole house was so lonesome. I'd go into the living room and see your big easy chair with no one in it, and I'd feel like crying. Trees outside were in bloom, but they looked barren to me.
Oh, Rochester.
Birds were singing, but I never could seem to hear them. The sun was shining, but I never saw it.
Really, Rochester?
Yeah, I never got up till 8 o'clock at night.
Now cut out this nonsense and get me something to eat. What are we having for breakfast?
Huh?
I said, what are we having for breakfast?
If this was last season, I could mention it.
If this was last season, you'd have to mention it. Now get me my breakfast.
Okay, I'll get you coffee.
Won't sleep till 8 o'clock at night anymore. Rochester, shut off the egg timer.
But I'm getting your coffee.
Shut off the egg timer.
Okay.
Rochester, answer the door.
You told me to shut off the egg timer.
Answer the door.
Okay.
Rochester, answer the phone.
You told me to answer the door.
Answer the phone.
Boss, I can't be in all those places at once. I ain't General Patton.
We'll talk about your rank later. You stop the egg timer and answer the door. I'll answer the phone. Or the door, rather. Da-da-dee-da-dum, da-dee-da-dum. Oh, boy, it's good to be home. Da-da-da-da-dum.
Hello, Jack.
Mary! Gee, it's good to see you.
Gosh, Jack, you look wonderful. I gotta give you a great big kiss.
Oh, Mary, not out here on the front porch.
Another one.
Mary, please, you're embarrassing me.
One more, Jack.
Mary, for heaven's sake, put me down. Please.
Oh, Jack, what are you ashamed of? I haven't seen you in 3 months, and that's a long time to go without a kiss.
Gee, Mary, you mean you haven't kissed anybody for 3 months?
Leave me out of it. I'm thinking about you.
Oh, thanks.
Gosh, Jack, it's good to see you. How was your trip?
Come on in. I'll tell you all about it. Mary, believe me, it was wonderful doing shows for the boys overseas. What a great job those kids are doing. And you know what? If I were 20 years younger, I'd be right out there with them.
You said that during the last war.
Well, I meant it then, too. I mean, Mary, stop mixing me up. I wasn't the last war.
Remember, I was in the Navy.
Oh, Miss Livesey. Hello.
Hello, Rochester.
Mr. Bentley, that telephone call was from your sponsor.
My sponsor?
You act like you're surprised you got one.
Well, I'm surprised he called. I wonder what it's about. Maybe he wants to... No, he wouldn't be giving me a bonus so soon. I wonder what it can be.
Well, maybe he wants to know who you're going to have for a singer. You still haven't got anyone to replace Dennis Day.
That's right, Mary. You know, confidentially, I've been considering Bing Crosby for my singer. You know, he's starting to get popular now.
Well, Jack, I don't want to disillusion you, but you're not going to get Crosby for $35 a week.
I wasn't thinking of $35.
You ain't going to get him for what you're thinking either.
Oh, Jack, what are you talking about? You can't hire Crosby. He makes thousands of dollars a week.
Well, hey, maybe I could get his little son, Larry. He sings, too. Or for $5 more, maybe I could get the twins.
Why don't you wait another year? You might have more to choose from.
Oh, well, I'm not going to worry about it now. I'll find a singer.
Come in! Hiya, Jackson.
Hello, Jack.
Filthy!
Oh, Jack, that trip did you a lot of good. You look wonderful.
I feel good, Don. I really do. Although I lost about 10 pounds.
Well, I lost some weight, too, but on me it isn't noticeable.
Really, Don? How much did you lose?
84 pounds.
Don, you didn't lose it. You just misplaced it.
You know, Jackson, it's like old times having you back. I thought about you every day.
Oh, sure, sure, Phil. I bet you didn't even know I was gone.
I did, too. You left on the day of Flat Top's funeral. You were gone all through Gravel Gertie, and you got back the day after the Brow paid his debt to society.
The Brow? Gravel Gertie? What are you talking about?
I bet you don't even know about the Summer Sisters being in that iron clamp.
The Summer Sisters.
How do you like that? The newspapers spend millions of dollars trying to educate people, and he don't even take advantage of it.
Phil, I've been away. I don't know what's going on around here. Say, Phil.
Why, Jack, Phil was on the Kay Kaiser program.
Well, that must have been nice.
For 13 weeks.
13 weeks? Now I know you're a jerk.
What do you mean?
If you couldn't answer the questions the first week, why did you keep going back? Can't understand.
Look, Jackson, you got it all wrong. They hired me to ask the questions. I was the professor.
Professor?
Yes, professor. P-U-R-F-E-Z.
I know how to spell it.
O-R.
Remind me to listen in Wednesday night. I want to hear Phil ask those questions.
Jack, starting Wednesday night, Kay Kaiser will be back on the show.
Oh, then I'll surely listen.
Well, fellas, I hate to break this up, but I got a call from my sponsor, and I have to go over and see him. Oh, say, kids, before I go, I want to give you the souvenirs I brought you from the South Pacific.
Boss, you want a hammer to open that big crate?
No, not the crate. The souvenirs are in the valises.
Well, what's in the crate?
Never mind.
You're acting kind of funny about that crate, Jack. Why don't you open it?
I don't have to. The souvenirs are in the valises.
Then what have you got in that crate?
It's something I brought home for myself. I got it on one of the islands in the South Seas.
Well, open it up, Jack. Let's see what it is.
Don, it's nothing. You wouldn't be interested.
Rochester, give me that hammer. I'm going to open it up.
Here you are, Mr. Harris.
Phil, please. Phil, it's just a little thing I picked up on one of the islands. It's for me. Phil!
Well, it's open.
Phil, you have no right to pick up...
Hey, Jackson, what are you so excited about? There's nothing in this crate but a grass skirt.
Nothing but a grass skirt? Let me... Oh, darn it, she got away. Isn't that awful?
Why, Jack Benny, do you mean you actually tried to bring back a...
Mary, help is hard to get and stop leering at me. Now, come on, Mary. We're going down to see my sponsor. See you later, fellas. I'll see you after.
That's the first portion of the Jack Benny program from October 1st, 1944. This was actually the first show of the new season, and it was the first show sponsored by Lucky Strike, although we have removed all of the Lucky Strike commercials because you're not supposed to play cigarette commercials on the radio, Lisa.
No, that would, you'd be arrested. They'd drag you off to jail.
Never break any kind of rules at all.
Well, speak for yourself.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're back. Thank you, Esmeralda. Thank you, Roger. And it's 12:36 in the morning, Monday morning. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning. That's our time slot, 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning every Saturday and Sunday, right here on the legendary Radio 720 WGN, broadcasting to about 40 states and parts of Canada. Powerful signal here, Lisa. You know, when we talk, it just booms out all over the place.
I think it's your voice that's powerful. It just booms out.
That too.
Yeah, we just got the nicest text on the text line. It says, you're both touching many lives. Thank you for a wonderful show. Glad you're here.
Well, I mean, it couldn't have been nicer. That's very sweet.
It is very kind.
Well, these radio shows, we've talked about this before. These radio shows are very magical. They were broadcast during the golden age of radio, the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, a time before the advent of television. So people were at home. They gathered around the radio with their family. They had supper together, and then they would listen to the Jack Benny program or whatever show as a unit, as a family gathered around the radio. And Dad would maybe be reading the newspaper, and Mom would be, you know, maybe knitting or doing something. It was like, you know, it was just a wholesome, wholesome time. And these radio shows were really the main way people were entertained back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. People didn't have money to go to a Broadway play or to see a movie in the theater. I mean, they did, but not like today. You have 400 channels on your television. I mean, literally, 400 or more channels, right? You've got motion pictures coming out, you know, 10 pictures come out a weekend. I mean, it wasn't like that back then. You'd maybe get one or two movies a weekend to see. And that's
if you could afford to go out to see a movie.
Right. I mean, people couldn't. I mean, they were, it was the wartime, and they were sending the dimes in for the March of Dimes. I mean, you know, money was scarce, and this was free entertainment. And so this is really a very, very important medium, and we don't want it to ever go away. So WGN has given us the opportunity to present these programs to you every weekend, and it's just great to be here every weekend and playing six shows. And we're in the midst of tuning into the Jack Benny program. Let's go back to October 1st, 1944, for the conclusion now of the Jack Benny program.
Very far. How I wish you'd hurry, 'cause I'm inclined to worry. These arms of mine are open, open, you'll appear. Where are you, dear? Come out, come out, come out, wherever you are. Come out, come out from under that star. Yes, and incidentally, mentally, I'm not up to par. So come out, come out, come out, wherever you are. Yes, and incidentally, mentally, I'm not up to par, so come out, come out, come out, wherever you are.
Here it is, Mary. Here's my sponsor's office, George W. Hill. Let's go in.
Okay.
And Mary, please try and act nice, will you?
Oh, Jack, stop worrying. Even though he is your sponsor, you don't have to fall all over him.
Don't be silly, Mary. I'm going to treat him just like any other person.
But, Jack, you never brought a girl an orchid. Why bring him one?
Well, you know, Mary, a man in his position has got almost everything else. Come on, let's go in. Miss, will you please stop into Mr. Hill's office, step in, and tell him I'm here?
Yes, sir.
Well, I haven't heard that side of it before, but continue. Your opinions interest
me. Pardon me, Mr. Hill.
Yes, Miss Bates?
Jack Benny is waiting in the outer office.
Oh, good, good. Tell him I'll see him in a few minutes. I'm in conference right now.
Yes, sir.
Now, as I was saying, your opinions interest me. I'd like to hear more of them.
Well, first of all, Mr. Hill, I don't want you to think that I have anything against Benny personally.
Oh, of course not, Mr. Allen.
You see, Mr. Hill, with Allen, it's two receptions to one instead of... I'd be the last one to try and get his job. I've always semi-admired Mr. Benny.
After all, Fred, how could anyone dislike a man like Jack? A man who last year was affectionately nicknamed after General Patton. Old Blood and Guts Benny.
Old... In that order. Old... Old Blood and Guts Benny. You mean Old Toupee and Wrinkles. Old Blood and... Why, you know, Mr. Hill, last week his doctor took a sample of Benny's blood and sent it to the laboratory to be analyzed. It came back with a note saying, "Congratulations. Put an olive in this and you've got a martini." Blood, why, Benny wasn't delivered by the stork. He was brought by a leech.
Mr. Allen, hearing you talk, I get the impression that you don't like Mr. Benny.
Oh, I'm sorry I gave you that impression, Mr. Hill. I'm really very fond of Jack. He's one of my best friends. It's just that I hate to see him go back on the air and be a flop.
But what makes you think Benny will be a flop? He always gets laughs.
Mr. Hill. Anyone can get laughs who tells a joke, wiggles his ears, drops his pants, and then shows a Bob Hope movie on the seat of his underwear. And with Benny's red flannels, it looks like it's in Technicolor yet. How can he miss?
But, Mr. Allen, I'm a businessman. I don't care how a comedian gets his laughs, as long as he sells the product. And I think lots of people will sit by the radio, smoke a cigarette, and listen to Jack Benny.
Mr. Hill, that is an impossibility if I have ever heard one. Smoke a cigarette and listen to Benny. How in the world can anyone smoke and hold his nose at the same time? Done.
You know, Fred, I'm a little surprised hearing all this. You see, when I hired Jack, I thought he had a large following.
No, he just looks that way when he's not wearing his girdle, Mr. That large following is all Benny.
Well, look, Fred, perhaps it isn't too late. Do you think I could help the program if I got rid of Benny?
No, by all means, keep Jack on the program, Mr. Hill. Just cut his part down a little.
Oh, cut his part down a little, eh?
Well, look, Mr. Hill, I know you're a busy man, and I want to run down the hall and see your assistant for a few seconds. I may drop back a little later.
Okay, Fred. You'll find Mr. Stauffer's office quicker if you go through that rear door.
I knew he'd be in the rear. Thank you. So long.
Now, let's see. Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, Mr. Hill.
You may send Mr. Benny in now.
Well, hello, Mr. Hill. Sure glad to see you. Here, have a cigarette.
I'm already smoking one.
Oh, I'll have another. Mr. Hill, you know Mary. Mary, you know Mr. Hill. Now, I don't mind telling you, Mr. Hill.
Hello, Mr.
You're
Hill.
One of the swell... Now, I don't mind telling you, Mr. Hill.
Hello, Mary.
Now, I don't mind telling you, Mr. Hill. You're one of the swellest guys I've ever met. Not because you're my new sponsor, but because you're one of the finest fellas in the world. One of the squarest, grandest guys.
Oh, Jack, stop pinching his cheek.
Oh, about numbers. Mr. Hill, here we are. Yes, sir, ready to get off to a great start on our new radio series.
Well, Jack, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes, sir. Talk? To me? Is there wrong anything? I mean, anything wrong? Is there?
Jack, nothing wrong. Just a routine talk. Sit down.
Yes, sir.
That's my chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was your chair.
Well, you should know. You're sitting on him.
Oh, yes. Silly me not to notice you, Mr. Hill. I'll sit here.
Now you're sitting on me.
Because I am a little excited, Mary. I'll sit here.
All right, if you think you'll be comfortable on that ashtray.
Me, Mr. Trey. I mean, I'll just get up. Is this your lighted cigarette, Mr. Hill? Sorry, I didn't see it, Mr. Lighted. I mean, Mr. Hill.
Now, Jack, I wanted to talk to you about some things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, guess who was sitting in this office just a few minutes ago?
Well, I haven't the slightest idea, Mr. Hill. Who was it?
Fred Allen.
Fred Allen? What was he doing here? What did he want? What did he say?
Well, Jack, for one thing, he said...
That's a lie! When I see him, I'm going to...
Now, Jack, that's no attitude to take. Fred doesn't dislike you. Why don't you try to like him?
How can anyone like a guy who looks like he does?
Oh, Jack, Allen isn't so ugly.
How would you know? You can't see his face until you lift the bags under his eyes. And with that pained expression, he looks like a hen trying to lay a square egg. Don't tell me about Allen.
Now, Jack, don't get excited. And please stop biting my nails.
If I ever meet that sneak face to face, I'll tell him a thing.
Well, Mr. Hill, I just dropped back to say goodbye and, why, Jack. Jackie Benny.
Fred. Freddy, old boy.
Jack, old pal, it's certainly good to see what's left of you.
Freddy, I was just telling Mary and Mr. Hill how much I've missed you.
Yes, sir, Jack. It's great being together again.
I'll say it is. Well, tell me, Freddy, boy, what are you doing out here in Hollywood?
Oh, making a picture. I'm over at United Artists.
Oh, yes. I heard that Boris Karloff isn't there anymore.
I know, and I heard that since you've been with Warner's, the studio isn't there anymore.
Now, listen here, Allen.
Jack, it's your own fault. You always have a chip on your shoulder.
I haven't got a chip on my shoulder.
No, he's right, Mary. That's his head. His head looks like a knothole with skin on it.
That settles it, Allen. I've tried to be friends with you, but you won't have it that way. I'd punch you right in the nose if there wasn't a lady present.
I'll leave, Jack.
You sit down. Now, you listen to me, Allen.
And you listen to me, Benny. You'd punch who in the nose?
I'd punch you in the nose if it weren't for your wife and children.
I haven't got any children.
Then why aren't you in the Army? Answer that, civilian.
Oh. Jack, for goodness sake.
You keep out of this. Now, listen, Allen, for the last time, I want you to mind your own business.
Jack, why don't you and Fred shake hands and...
You shut up. Now, listen. I want to... Mr. Hill, I didn't mean to say shut up to you. I meant just say be quiet. I mean, please be quiet. I mean, I didn't mean it at all. I never think to say like that to you. Mr. Hill, don't stand there with your back to me. Fred, Freddy boy, please tell Mr. Hill I didn't mean it.
Suffer,
it was an accident.
Benny.
It was all a big mistake. Fred, don't stand there with your back to me. Mary, tell Mr. Hill it was all a mistake. Tell him I'm sorry. Tell him anything.
G.I. Jack, man alive. It starts with the bugler blowing reveille over your bed when you arrive. Jack, that's the G.I. Jack. Rudely toot, jump in your suit, make a salute. Boot. Then when you wash and dress, more or less. You go get your breakfast in a beautiful little cafe they call the Mess. Jack, when you convalesce, out of your seat, into the street, make with the feet. Treat. Now, if you're a PFC, your duty is to salute a L-I-E-U-T. But if you brush the L-I-E-U-T, the MP makes you KP on the QT. This is the G.I. Jive, man alive. They give you a private tank that features a little device called Fluid Dry. Jack, if you still survive, chunk all your junk back in your trunk, fall on your bunk, clunk. Man alive, they give you a private tank that features a little device called Fluid Dry. Jack, after you revive, chunk all your junk back in your trunk, fall on your bunk, clunk. Soon you're counting on Jeeps, but before you count to five,
Mary, do you think Mr. Hill was really angry at me because of what I said?
Oh, no, Jack. He knew you were excited and nervous.
Gee, I hope so.
Say, Jack, what are you going to do about a new singer for our show? We have to get somebody since Dennis is in the Navy.
Well, I don't know, Mary. I thought maybe next Sunday I would talk to Frank Sinatra and see if I can make a deal with him.
Frank Sinatra?
Yeah.
But, Jack, he's got two programs already.
Well, then maybe he'll hire me. We'll get together some way. I'll ask him to drop over next Sunday. Good night, folks.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Well, Miss Matenki, what did you think of that? The Jack Benny program, October 1st, 1944. With Jack's special guest, Fred Allen. Also, George Washington Hill, his sponsor from Lucky Strike on there. And Phil Harris sang a really cool song there, G.I. Jive. I've heard it before, but it was nice to hear him sing it. He had a great voice. Really fun way of singing.
I couldn't hear it over your singing.
I was singing
it. I only
it
heard
while,
you singing.
Yeah, I was singing it here in the studio.
You'll have to sing a little louder so your listeners can hear.
Yeah, I don't think they would appreciate that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
You're getting better with this fiddle.
You're very musical.
Right?
Yes.
How is that, Lisa? Pretty good?
You know, I play violin.
You do?
No, I mean, I did.
Did you?
I should pick it up again.
Yeah.
But literally pick it up. I haven't picked it up in a couple of years.
What other instrument can you play? Any?
I'm a singer.
She's got such a... Right, you're a singer?
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
I play guitar, play ukulele.
No kidding.
Not
a ukulele?
Ukulele.
I like the ukulele. Lisa, you play piano, right?
I do.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Let's start a band.
Yeah. Yeah, that might work out real well.
The Lise Lisas.
I can play the comb.
The comb is very important. That's Roger's joke.
Yeah, no, I know. I could play the comb.
I have a thumb piano. Have you ever seen that, Lise?
What's that?
No.
It's a thumb piano.
I got it at Jazz Fest in New Orleans because, of course, I went to school there. And
Tulane.
My friend bought it for me because we were musical together. And it's kind of like a little mini piano, but you just use your thumbs.
Your thumbs are so fast on the texting. Yeah.
Right. It's from the thumb piano.
I have no musical abilities whatsoever.
I did not pick up on that.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's wrong. You exercise and built your thumbs. You've got like giant muscles on your thumbs.
Oh, yeah. They're
It's like
huge.
Very Quasimodo-ish.
Yes, it's attractive.
And it looks really great.
Thanks.
All right. So in this hour, it's This Is Your FBI. You're going to love it, from 1946, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress's voice stars in the upcoming TV series Big Mouth, an animated comedy about two teenagers going through puberty.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I've ever seen a show about that.
Never. 312-981-7200. What do they win?
The winner is going to win a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Wow, very good. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Lillian, the bride, in Bridesmaids.
This is all my favorite stuff from all the stores I love in Milwaukee. Annie, it's so unbelievable.
All right, who is that great actress? 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
All of us. Online.
WGNRadio.com.
We can beat them all.
Service to a green tea.
Hi, this is Tonya Khoury of Green Tea Windows. Increase the beauty and value of your home with our exceptional, energy-efficient, EPA-certified windows. They're made here in the U.S. with a lifetime warranty, and our installers have a minimum 7 years' experience. And listen to this. Our windows have the newest technology, self-cleaning glass. Yes, our special glass actually cleans itself. Dirt, dust, and water just rolls right off.
Service to a green tea.
There are so many deals out there for windows, but green tea can beat them all. Yes, green tea can beat any window deal and save you a lot of money. Plus, 0% financing is available. Call us now for details and a free estimate. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green tea services. Service to a
green tea.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA. Or greenteaservices.com.
Credit drop. Recent 520.
It's hard to know what's up with your identity if you only get part of the story.
Of course, transactions, problem, account closure.
That's what happens when you rely on monitoring your credit to protect you from identity theft.
Charges, Vegas, Tuesday.
You might detect credit changes, but you can miss threats like a cell phone account or new loan in your name, or that your personal info is for sale on the dark web.
In particular, red flag. Bad.
Why not get a more complete story to help protect your identity? At LifeLock, we detect a range of identity threats. And if you have a problem, one of our U.S.-based specialists will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock gives you more than you'll get from just monitoring your credit. Memberships start at $9.99 a month plus applicable taxes. Join now for 10% off. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code LifeLock. That's promo code LifeLock. LifeLock. More detection, more protection.
Attention, this is an investor notice. Are you interested in making some extra cash buying real estate tax liens? Then listen to this. The Government Tax Lien Network is offering a free tax lien kit which contains two DVDs and a step-by-step report that'll show you how to earn guaranteed returns between 15 and 35% yearly, which is completely secured by the government. They'll even show you how to do this inside your own retirement accounts. So if you're looking to become a real estate investor without risk, then call 1-800-404-2219 now to get your free tax lien kit. Then get ready to buy tax liens for pennies on the dollar and buy houses for as low as $500, all from your home, with little or no money, working only 5 to 10 hours per week. Call 800-404-2219 right now to get your free tax lien kit, plus two free tickets to a live training event and a free $20 Visa gift card just for attending. Call 800-404-2219. That's 800-404-2219 for your free tax lien kit now. Individual results may vary.
They call themselves the DK Devils, daredevil artists putting their talents to help save their City. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
We are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
This is all my favorite stuff from all the stores I love in Milwaukee. Annie, it's so unbelievable.
Let's talk to Betty from Berwyn. Hey,
this,
Betty.
This movie is so great.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine.
Good. I assume you recognize that actress from Bridesmaids.
I just watched it the other night.
Well, that
it's a great movie, right, Betty?
Perfect timing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, who is it?
It's Maya Rudolph.
It is Maya Rudolph. And Betty's a winner. You have won the Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set produced by Carl Amari and hosted. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is, but I've heard the name here and there. And it's hosted by.
He's a legend in his own mind.
That is true. Hosted by Stacey Keach. And it's actually really great. It's filled with a lot of celebrities, and it's a wonderful prize. And we hope that you love it.
Oh, I have to tell you guys, it's really funny, but I drive to Michigan a lot, and I listen to your podcast, and I get one story on the way over and one story on the
way
back.
Yeah,
perfect.
That is, I say that's kind of the point of the podcast, too, so you can sort of hear it on the go or if you miss a show, and it's a perfect distraction from driving, although you want to focus on the driving. That came out wrong.
I have to tell you, you guys, your show is awesome.
Thank you, Betty. Thanks, Betty. We really do appreciate the kind words.
Okay.
And take care.
Thank you, Betty. All right. Well, she's a big winner. She CD set of the Twilight Zone, 4 shows. That'll be fun. Stacey Keach, who is right down the block from us here.
You need to give the guy a call.
Yeah, he's going
to
be.
We need to talk to him before his show opens, which is
maybe
very
next
soon.
Week. We'll get him on the air next week.
Let's All right. talk to him.
Sounds good. Time now for This Is Your FBI. This was an FBI drama. It was fact-based and dramatized closed FBI cases from the agent's point of view. That was the interesting thing. It was from the agent's point of view. They were tracking the killer. But then sometimes it faded out and you got the bad guy's points of view, too. It was very interesting how they did it. It was created, produced, and directed by Jerry Devine of Mr. District Attorney fame. And it was indeed endorsed by J. Edgar Hoover. And it was one agent that was always tracking these guys, you know, sort of like Jack Webb was Sergeant Joe Friday. Well, Stacey Harris, who played the lead role, was Agent Jim Taylor. And the action shift, as I said, from agent to criminal. It was heard on ABC Radio from 1945 all the way to 1953, all brought to you by the same sponsor that entire time, the Equitable Life Assurance Society of America. I'm guessing it was some kind of an insurance company.
Assurance, insurance, it's different.
It was called Assurance.
That's what I'm saying. That's different.
I don't know.
Assurance.
I know about the old-time radio
I'm
shows.
I'm assured.
I don't know about the
that we are
sponsors.
Insured.
All right, so this is called Operation Rumba. It stars Stacey Harris from December 6, 1946. Here's part one of This Is Your FBI.
The Equitable Life Assurance Society presents This Is Your FBI. This is your FBI, the official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, presented as a public service by the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community. Tonight's FBI file, Operation Rumba. Tonight, your FBI removes the secret classification from another of wartime files and makes public this story of how one of its special agents aided the Allied cause in the fight against the Axis. The time of this case was December 1942, almost 4 years ago to the day, a period which saw headlines about strange remote places like Guadalcanal, Tunis, Mature, Bazerte. They were the days of desperation, when it seemed, even to those who are not faint-hearted, that victory for the Axis might be just around the corner. Tonight's file opens on a street corner in a large city in South America. A middle-aged lady, limping quite badly, approaches the corner where George Harrison, a young American chemist, is standing. The middle-aged lady speaks.
I beg your pardon, young man.
Oh, are you talking to me?
Yes. I'd like you to do me a favor.
If I can.
I wonder if you'd wait here with me until the traffic slows down and help me across.
Well, certainly.
Thank you so much. You're an American, aren't you?
Yes.
That's why I asked you. Some of these natives down here hate us so much, I'd be afraid they'd push me in front of a car.
Oh, they're not that bad.
Oh, wait till you've been here as long as I have.
Well, I think they're good ones.
There are very few good ones, young man. You can take my word for that. Besides, they're almost all German spies. I wouldn't trust any of them.
Well, I don't know about that.
You'll find out that I'm right, young man. And I hope you do before it's too late.
I hope so, too. I think we can get across after this car passes, ma'am.
Yes, I believe you're right. Do you mind if I take your arm?
Not at all.
Wagner. Hurry, get in. That was a fine push you gave him.
First, I didn't think I'd pushed him hard enough to get him in front of that other car.
It was perfect. In fact, I think the car that Pedro was driving, she killed the young man.
Oh, that's too bad. He was a nice boy. But we can't worry about him now. Let's hurry. I've got to get this briefcase to the pet shop.
A few hours later, in the hospital room of George Harrison, George was explaining his strange accident to Special Agent Jim Taylor.
You say this woman was about 45, with dark hair and a light complexion.
Yes, Mr. Taylor, that's right.
And when she approached you, she was limping quite badly.
She was.
Well, if the woman purposely pushed you in front of the car to get your briefcase, as you seem to think, then in all probability is, well, that limp was fake.
I suppose you're right.
And you have no idea what happened to the woman?
None.
What makes you think she pushed you as this car was approaching?
Well, the car just seemed to come out of nowhere, and it seemed to me she stepped back and pushed me right in front of it.
Hmm. Can you describe the briefcase you say she took, Mr. Harrison?
Well, it was an ordinary brown calfskin briefcase with my initials, GHH.
Mr. Harrison, I happen to know that you're down here working on an important secret project. And that this may be a conspiracy, but...
But what?
But there must be a lot of women in this city who answer to the description that you've given me.
Shouldn't be too hard to find her.
Still, if we find her and she hasn't got the briefcase...
What do you mean?
I mean, what do we do then? There's no way you can prove that she actually pushed you, is there? You're not even sure she did.
I see what you mean.
However, we'll go to work on it, Mr. Harrison. And the first break we get, we'll let you know.
Here we are at the pet shop, Mrs. Wagner.
Good. I won't be too long.
Do you want me to wait for you?
Yes, wait right here. Good morning, Alex.
Ah, good morning. You have the briefcase.
Yes, it worked perfectly. Here. But it was very lucky there wasn't anyone in the pet shop when I walked through.
Oh, that does not matter. Whatever there are customers, when you come in, just wait. Jose will get rid of them, and then you can walk back here in safety.
Oh, yes, I see.
You like the canaries in the shop?
Why, yes. They're new, aren't they?
We just got them in yesterday.
But what do you do with canaries? They aren't rare.
No. But Jose was complaining. He said the radio transmitter was making so much noise, you could hear it all over. Now they will think it is the canaries.
Why, how clever. That's a wonderful trick.
To be in this business and to stay in this business, you must use your head. Ah, there. Now, let me see what we have here. Mrs. Wagner, I'm sorry to have to tell you this.
Sorry to tell me what?
This briefcase does not contain the right information.
What?
Yes, I'm sorry. For this, we cannot pay you. You understand that, no?
But I took great chances this morning, Alex.
I know, I know. But... Mrs. Wagner, I can only buy from you what I can get paid for. Now, if you wish to undertake another assignment...
Well, I need the money, Alex. I've told you that.
Very well. Listen carefully. I want you to go back.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Harrison.
Well, hello.
It's so good to see that you weren't hurt badly either.
Oh?
My doctor examined me and said I was only slightly bruised. So I came to see how you were and to return your briefcase.
But how did you know who I was and where I was?
Why, there was a story about the accident in the morning paper in which it said you'd been brought to this hospital.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you for returning the briefcase.
Well, it's nothing, really.
It was very nice of you, and I do appreciate it.
How long are you going to be here?
Well, I'm going to be released tomorrow.
Splendid. Then I'm not going to leave this hospital room until you tell me what day you're coming to my home for tea.
Well, I'm afraid...
Now, after all, I feel I'm partly responsible for your having met with this accident. Now, you must say yes, Mr. Harrison.
Well, I'll be pretty busy the first day I get out of here, but...
Well, how about Thursday, then?
That sounds all right. What's your address, Mrs. Wagner?
17 Avenue of the Siestas. Isn't that romantic?
Very. All right, then, I'll see you on Thursday at, say, 5?
That's wonderful. I'll be waiting.
May I come in, Senor Montes?
Yes, yes, come in, please. What is it I can do for you?
Here are my credentials, Senor.
James Taylor... Oh, please sit down, Mr. Taylor. We're very happy to do what we can to cooperate with the American FBI.
Thank you, Senor Montes.
What can we do?
Our censors in the United States intercepted the letter with secret writing on it that was sent to a man here named Rafael Torres.
Rafael Torres? I don't know that name, Mr. Taylor. You think he's a German spy?
We are pretty sure he is, judging from what was in this letter to him.
When did they send that letter to Senor Torres?
It was addressed to him at 43 Avenue Dos Picos.
43 Avenue Dos Picos.
I went by there this morning. It's a pet shop.
Oh, yes. That is owned by a man named Jose Condado.
Do you know him?
Not too well, but he runs a big business. He sells many rare birds. He has a boat which he sends up the river for those birds.
Do you know the name of the boat, Senor Montes?
El Aguila. That means the eagle in Spanish.
Yes, I know. I speak a little Spanish.
Good. Now, what else do you want to know?
Well, according to your records and our own, there isn't a transmitter in this country sending out a signal powerful enough to be picked up overseas.
That is correct. We have been very careful about that.
Yes, I know that. Oh, what puzzles me is, if they're not using the radio, how are they getting that information out?
That I do not know. But if there is anything I can do to help you to find out...
Well, I'll tell you what you can do for us, if you will.
Yes?
You can put a plainclothesman on watch at the pet shop. Maybe we can pick up something by watching who goes out and who comes in.
Maybe. Excuse me.
Oh, certainly.
Chief of Police Montes. Yes, Mr. Taylor is here. Just a minute, please. It's your office.
Oh, thank you. Hello. Oh, yes, Don. Harrison called you, sir? Said that woman was all right and returned the briefcase, huh? I see. Okay, Don, I'll see you later. Now, Senor Montes?
Well, as you were requesting, Mr. Taylor, we should be glad to put a man on watch. Pet shop, and we shall give you a report.
Thank you, Senor Montes. And as soon as I find out anything, I'll be in touch with you.
As soon as I find anything, at least I'll be in touch with you.
Oh, please okay. Don't be. Don't call, don't write. Just, I'll see you next week.
Right. It's like every day, practically, I call Lisa.
It's true.
Because she's like my dear Abby. Lisa,
if
I give
I
her a call.
If I didn't hear from you all day, I get a little concerned.
I'm like, Lisa, call me. Sometimes I'll just write, call me.
Yeah, because I'm sleeping in the morning.
And if I send it in all caps.
Then I call faster.
Boy. Drop whatever you're doing.
Isn't that
something
unusual to
dramatic
wake up?
Dramatic is happening.
Look at my phone and I've got call me.
Call me.
How like, long are these conversations usually?
Well, but see, here's the thing. She sleeps till like noon, 1 o'clock.
I'm
up crack of dawn.
That is ridiculous.
6 o'clock, I'm up.
Nobody allows me to sleep till noon. And, I have a dog. I have kids. That's
and
just
I need
impossible.
To talk to her already. You know, there's something you know dramatic happening.
You wake up early.
And
I don't
so
like to do that.
I know not to call her.
Here's the
so
thing.
I just
I don't
write
like to
call
talk.
Me.
I don't like to talk in the morning.
Yeah.
Because it's just too early to talk.
And then like, she'll...
So I pretend I'm sleeping.
And then if she doesn't call me for hours, I'll write back, yeah, call me.
I just pretend to sleep a little later so I don't have to talk too early.
She's probably like, oh, it's that pain in the neck. Carl,
give me a crick in the neck.
See, when you signed up for this gig here,
I had no
idea. As my co-host,
didn't know I was going to be your shrink.
Dear Abby.
Or shrink, as I call it.
Or Ann Landers. Is it Dear Abby? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Or Dr. Ruth sometimes.
Always something going on. So.
Or Judge Judy.
Judge Judy,
I love Judge Judy.
Yeah, do you?
I just do. I love her no-nonsense attitude, her edge. She's just full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that?
No, you're not, actually.
Okay, sorry.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back to This Is Your FBI.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger and Esmeralda. And thank you, Lisa, and thank you, Lise. And thanks to all of our listeners because they're staying up late with us. It's 1:37 in the morning. I actually have some pep this morning.
I just noticed you haven't napped
yesterday.
Today.
I was so tired. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
but for some reason, I've got more energy today.
I'm sharing my energy with you.
Not sure why. And I didn't really have any coffee or anything. There was no coffee.
No, there wasn't. I don't drink coffee, so it has to be... just the apple?
It might have been the apple. I was just going to say, I think an apple has the same amount of caffeine.
No caffeine. Natural sugar.
It has natural sugar.
Oh, there we go.
It makes you feel kind of like drink a cup of coffee.
Yeah, we all had apples here.
We did. We had apples together.
Cute.
Green granny apples. All right, so we are listening to This Is Your FBI. Stacey Harris stars as Agent Jim Taylor. Let's go back to December 6, 1946 for the conclusion to Operation Rumba on This Is Your FBI.
Yes?
Is this the residence of Mrs. Nora Wagner?
Yes, sir. I am Alex, Mrs. Wagner's butler, sir. Are you Mr. Harrison?
Yes, I had an appointment with Mrs. Wagner.
She's expecting you, sir. Please go straight ahead.
Thank you, Alex.
Hello there, Mr. Harrison.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Wagner.
Well, you look fine. No ill effects from the accident?
No, the doctor said there wasn't a single after effect.
Knock on wood. Now, would you like some tea or would you rather have whiskey?
Tea would be fine. I've got to get back to the office after I leave here to finish up some work.
All right, we'll both have tea then.
Will you have a cigarette, Mrs. Wagner?
Oh, no, thank you. I smoke a special brand. Alex, cigarette.
There you are, madam.
Well, here, let me light it for you.
Thank you. I think the time has come to tell you something, Mr. Harrison.
What's that?
Mr. Harrison, we know you're a chemist and that you were sent down here to work on synthetic rubber. Now we want to know the results of your most recent experiment with butadiene. It's as simple as that.
If I refuse to tell you?
Alex?
This is what will happen. Now get up and start talking.
I'll tell you what I'll do, you dirty...
Alex? Are you sure you didn't hit him too hard that time?
No, he isn't hurt. He'll just be unconscious for a little while.
Well, you'd better take him up to the bedroom.
Yes. When he comes to, if he still refuses to talk, then I can go to work on him again.
It is unfortunate but true that during a war when emotion runs high and patriotism is a word with dignity, that there are some who place their personal comforts before the welfare of the nation. The list of traitors to every nation is a long one and is studded with those who are traitors in time of peace as well as in time of war. Traitors to their own country and to the human race. For what they have to sell is not disloyalty, but hate. In time of war, they're called traitors. In time of peace, they're dismissed as harmless crackpots. But what they have to sell is dangerous at any time. For hate breeds hate. And when the world's quotient of hatred
exceeds the world's quotient of friendship, then we shall know the terrible tragedy of World War III. Tonight's file continues at police headquarters, where Special Agent Jim Taylor has just entered into a conference with Chief of Police Carlos Montes.
You think you have uncovered something, Jim?
I don't know, Carlos, but I was down at the pier this morning when the El Aguila came in, and there was a coat of salt on the prow.
So?
That coat of salt means that that ship was out on the ocean, Carlos.
Yes, you're right. Where do you think the boat went?
I don't know, but they've got a radio on that boat. Do you know anything about it?
Yes, all radios on boats that ship out of this harbor are registered here, Jim.
No?
In that green book over there.
Well, let's look up the radio on the El Aguila.
Here we are. El Aguila. No, Jim, this radio, she isn't strong enough to send more than 200-300 miles.
Yes, you're right. That's only a ship to shore, 50 water.
Now I am puzzled. I do not understand this whole thing.
You mean about the boat?
Yes. I have known Jose Condado for several years, and I know he is not the kind of a man who would work with Germans.
Then he doesn't know what's going on under his nose, Carlos, because we know his pet shop is a mail drop.
Still, no one we have not been able to identify has gone into the pet shop since we put a man on watch.
Well, I don't know the answer, Carlos, but I'd...
Excuse me.
Oh, certainly.
Chief of Police Montes. Yes, Mr. Taylor is here. Just a minute, please. It's for you, Jim.
Thanks. Hello. Yes, Don. What? George Harrison has disappeared. Don, do you know where his office is? Where? Wait a minute. Let me copy that down. Okay, I got it. Let's take a look around his office. I'll meet you there in 10 minutes.
Has he come to yet, Alex?
Yes, he came to, and he wouldn't talk.
So you went to work on him again?
Naturally.
Let me try for a while. Come on. Alex.
Yes?
Get me a drink of that brandy. Maybe that'll help.
All right. Here.
Thank you. Here. Take a drink of this. Drink it. It's good for you. I think he will talk now.
Where am I?
You're at my home, Mrs. Wagner. Remember? What were the results of your experiments?
No, I won't tell you.
You take him, Alex. Go to work on him.
I don't think I'll work on him anymore.
Why not?
Because he will not talk to us. He will not tell us anything.
What are we going to do then? Let him go?
No, we will not let him go, but I will call the pet shop.
What do you want from the pet shop?
A truck. We will take Mr. Harrison down to the El Aguila.
What can you do with him on the boat?
The El Aguila will make a rendezvous at sea with one of our U-boats. And when they get Mr. Harrison in Germany, they will know how to make him talk.
Who can that be?
I don't know. But you had better answer the door.
You think it's the truck from the pet shop?
No, the truck will come to the back door, I told them.
Oh, all right. I'll go. Good evening.
Good evening. Mrs. Wagner?
Yes.
Oh, is Mr. George Harrison still here?
No, I'm sorry, but he isn't. I had an appointment with Mr. Harrison for this afternoon, but he didn't keep it.
I see. Oh, George is a friend of mine. I have a message for him.
He told you he was coming here for tea?
No, I found that out from his appointment pad at his office.
Oh, I see.
Well, if you hear from him, Mrs. Wagner...
I'll have him get in touch with you, Mr...
Taylor, Jim Taylor.
I'll tell him to get in touch with you, Mr. Taylor. He knows where to call you, does he?
Yes, he does.
And, Mr. Taylor...
Oh, yes?
If you hear from him first, I wish you'd ask him to get in touch with me and explain his not making an appearance.
Yes, I'll do that.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
Goodbye, Mrs. Wagner.
Who was that?
Someone looking for Harrison.
Looking for... How did they know he was here?
Harrison had my name on his appointment pad in his office.
All right, then we must hurry.
Is the truck here yet?
Yes, while you were talking, I saw the truck enter your garage. Come on, give me a hand.
What do you want me to do? Help you carry him?
No, he's not unconscious. I've been tied up and gagged, and I will keep him covered with my gun until we get to the boat.
Well, let's get to work.
Carlos!
Jim.
Carlos, we've got to get moving.
Well, what is it, Jim?
I went to Harrison's office and found out that he was at Mrs. Wagner's for tea this afternoon.
Yes?
I went there, and Mrs. Wagner said that Harrison had never arrived.
You saw him there?
No, but I know he was there.
How?
Well, you know how light it is out this evening.
Yes?
I saw a thread of fresh footprints on Mrs. Wagner's doorsteps.
Yes?
The heel prints were very clear. They were made by rubber heels that are sold only in the United States.
I see. You want to go back and search the house?
No, I looked around in back of the house after I left. And I saw the pet shop truck in the garage.
What?
Yes, they're probably moving Harrison somewhere right now.
Well, what do you want to do, Jim?
I want you to go down to the Yellaguilla with me, and we'll have to hurry.
I hope we're in time.
So do I, for Harrison's sake.
I don't understand about that Jose Candado. I'm sure.
More time, Carlos. I found you can't be sure of anyone.
No, I suppose you're right. That is El Aguila down there.
Oh, good. All right, Carlos. Let's stop about a half a block away.
Good.
Now, let's get out of the car and sneak down there, just so we'll be close enough in case we have to go into action.
All right. Is that the truck coming down here?
Yes, that looks like it. Come on, I'm stuck in here. That's it, Carlos. Truck is stopping in front of the boat.
Yes, I see.
See that woman getting out, you see?
Yes.
That's Mrs. Wagner. Who is that man with her? You know him?
I can't tell from here. They're going around to the back of the truck.
Yes, I see.
Someone else is coming out of the back of the truck.
I recognize that build. Carlos, it's Harrison.
Let's get him.
Let's go.
Stop in the name of the law.
Run, both of you.
You got him, Carlos. Well, good evening, Mrs. Wagner. Do you mind if I remove the gag from Mr. Harrison's mouth?
That man you shot, he forced me to help him.
You'll know all about that in a minute. As soon as I untie the knot. There.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Taylor. You got here just in time.
Mr. Harrison, tell these men that I was forced into this. You heard that man threaten me.
I heard you threaten him, Mrs. Wagner.
What?
Yes, I heard you say unless you got your money tonight, you were going to make trouble. You said that you had delivered me, and that was your part of the bargain.
So that's why you came down to the boat, Mrs. Wagner, to get paid. I wondered about that.
Mr. Harrison, perhaps you can tell me something.
What is it?
You heard them speak of a Jose Condado?
I heard Alex, the man here you just shot, say that Condado was forced to work with him because the Germans kidnapped his mother and were holding her as a threat.
Uh-huh.
Well, Mrs. Wagner?
I won't say another word. I want to get a lawyer.
That's fair enough. And I've got a tip for you.
You have?
Yes. With Harrison here alive to tell his story, you'd better get a good lawyer. A very good one.
Nora Wagner was found to be a German national, was tried and convicted of felonious assault, and was sentenced to be deported to Germany at the end of the war. That sentence has been carried out. And so another wartime file was closed by your FBI. Closed successfully because of the alert work of a special agent and the fine cooperation of the local police in South America. Also closed was the file on who wrote the original letter from the United States, the letter that was intercepted. That person's home was raided, one of the 25,881 raids made by your FBI during the war. Because of those raids, and because of the cooperation it received from local police all over the Americas, your FBI was proud to report at the end of the war that there had not been one single successful attempt at sabotage. That is a record of which your FBI is very proud. Next week, we will bring you another colorful story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Rendezvous in the Everglades.
The incidents used in tonight's Equitable Life Assurance Society broadcast are adapted from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. However, all names used are fictitious, and any similarity thereof to the names of persons living or dead is accidental. Tonight's broadcast was directed by William M. Sweet. The music was composed and conducted by Frederick Steiner. The author was Jerry D. Lewis, and your narrator was Dean Carlton. This is Your FBI, is a Jerry Devine production. This is Milton Cross speaking for the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community, inviting you to tune in again next week at this same time when the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States will bring you another thrilling story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Rendezvous in the Everglades on This Is Your FBI.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
All right, there you go, Lisa. That's This Is Your FBI, December 6th, 1946, Operation Rumba, starring Stacy Harris on there, Dean Carlton doing the narrating, and Milton Cross as our announcer is heard on ABC. Let's take a quick break, then it's back to the WGN Radio Theater with Lisa and Carl and Lise after these words. All right, Lisa, next week we'll be back here on Saturday and Sunday, and we have more classic radio shows. You want to tell our listeners what we have in store?
I would love to. We've got The Shadow, Duffy's Tavern, and The Saint. Those are all on Saturday night.
Right.
And on, right, just making sure I got it right.
Yeah.
And on Sunday night, we have Suspense, The Great Gildersleeve, and Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
All right.
Good lineup. Don't miss it.
And Nick DiGilio is in the house. What's up, Nick? How
hey.
Are you?
All right.
Everything good, sir?
Yeah.
And out of that lineup, The Shadow, Duffy's Tavern, The Saint, Suspense, Gildersleeve, Johnny Dollar, which ones do you like the most?
Gildersleeve.
I love
really?
Gildersleeve. Yeah, Gildersleeve's great.
It's one of my favorites.
My crabby brother doesn't
You know, it's
like
so
it.
Funny. I like it too, but there are quite a few listeners that will text in during Gildersleeve and tell us it's too corny, the jokes don't hold up.
I like it.
I like it too, but yeah. It's not necessarily
see,
one of the
and
favorites.
And Suspense is always good too.
Suspense yeah. is great. Yeah. See, the situation comedies, I think the comedy still works. Like Gildersleeve, it was situation comedy. He was dating a girl or whatever the funny thing was. But like a Fred Allen show or even Jack Benny sometimes, it was more topical humor.
Yeah.
So it sometimes doesn't.
Fred Allen was, you know, the thing about Fred Allen, I thought Fred Allen was hilarious.
Yeah.
But he was a guy that some people didn't take to.
Yeah.
Because he was very acerbic.
Very.
And you know, you didn't know whether he was trying to be funny or not sometimes.
Right.
I mean, I'll never forget how great he was on
What's My Line?
What's My Line? He was fantastic. And then he passed away right after the show.
I think he only did it like 2 years or something.
It was
like
only
that.
Like 2 years and he mm-hmm. passed away. But he was, oh man, I thought Fred Allen was hilarious.
His radio show was fantastic.
Yeah.
But you have to also know history, though, because a lot of times they were talking about things that were going on
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Well, so, you played Jack Benny earlier.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
and,
great.
Oh, Jack Benny is just awesome. I never got to meet Jack Benny. I wish I would have, if I would have gotten into this a little earlier, I would have had a chance to meet him. But, you know, George Burns, I got to be really good friends with, Jerry Lewis, and a lot of these guys. But I never got to meet Jack yeah. Benny. Talked to Phil Harris on the phone a couple times.
Yeah, Johnny Carson's hero, Jack Benny.
Yeah, I'll say.